This is Right from the Deep.
I'm Karen Ball.
And I'm Erin Taylor Young. And this is the podcast from writers for writers answering the question,
why am I doing this?
As writers, editors,
and a literary agent,
we're in the deep with you.
We want you not just to survive here, but to thrive, to embrace the deep and find your truest story, your truest message. And we're going to do that by bringing you interviews, inspiration, and information specifically geared to encourage, refresh, and equip you in the deep.
You can get the episode show notes, lots more information and encouragement, and your free audio download.
Yay!
5 crucial ways to safeguard your writer's heart at writefromthedeep.com.
And here's the show.
Well, greetings, fellow residents of the deep. We are so glad that you've joined us on this podcast. And today we're going to talk about how the Bible seems to be telling us to be happy when we're struggling, going through traumas and trials. And I'll tell you, I have been through something very, very hard and horrible this last week and a half. I'm still dealing with it and I'm not happy.
Yeah.
So you guys all know the deep is very hard, but here we have James in chapter 1:2 saying, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. So today we want to talk about the challenges of how that can happen.
You know, I don't know about you guys, but I've struggled with this particular scripture, this idea for a really long time because you know, I don't like going through trials. I don't like being in the deep. It's not that I wake up in the morning and say, please, God, send me into the deep again today. That's not the way it works.
Right.
But as we think about this, we need to dispel one flat out lie. And Erin, that's something that you just said. The Bible is not telling us to be happy.
Right.
Happy and joy, two very different things. Happiness is temporary. Joy is a foundation. Happiness is based on circumstances, on emotions. Joy is based on truth and on trust, on experience. So no, you don't have to throw a party when you slam into the deep. You don't have to be happy and you don't have to walk around with this fakey smile on your face telling yourself, count it all joy, count it all joy, count it all joy.
Right.
That's not the case.
And not only that, but how James is using pure joy here or all joy, it's really in terms of intensity. It's like he means unalloyed or complete, and it's not exclusive. He is absolutely not saying that we should have no other response other than joy.
Right.
We are not commanded to never be saddened by our difficulties, but what he is saying is that there is an occasion for this pure, unalloyed joy, a deeper joy in the midst.
And that's what's so hard for us to grasp, because when we're in the deep, when we're immersed in the deep, the last thing we feel is like being joyful, Erin, which you've gone through in the last week and a half. You didn't exactly sit there in the midst of your grief and loss and think to yourself, I'm so glad I'm here.
Exactly.
It was more like, how am I going to survive this? And so, you know, the way to start counting it joy, and remember, we're not saying to be happy, but to count it joy is to start to fix your focus on God's purpose for traumas and trials. Friends, you know, the gift of suffering is something we have a really hard time accepting and embracing. And yet the moment we said yes to God's call to follow his son, the moment we said yes to Jesus coming into our hearts, in that moment, we entered into following a suffering Savior.
Amen.
We entered into following a Christ, a Lord who has faced every temptation and trial and struggle. Count it joy in the fact that we are coming under pressure and the reality of who we are in our faith is going to be shown in the midst of it. Joy in that this testing ground will prove our faith in God. It will show its true colors. Our faith will show their true colors. You know what it's like when you know somebody who seems fakey on the surface. It seems like, you know, they act like they're a good person and they're just happy about everything. And then some difficult point hits and man, they're into the swearing and the anger and cursing God and cursing everyone around them. Well, the reality of who we are shows up when we face trials, and we can count that as joy because number one, we learn a lot about ourselves. And number two, we learn a lot about God's grace and the ways that he works with us in the midst of the deep.
Indeed, we do. And you know, James's readers, they were suffering too. You know, it's sometimes I think people say, oh, it's just a pat answer to count it all joy. And I'm wondering, you know, did the readers of James think that? But yet he felt it was really important to write this to these people who were suffering. Some of them were there because they were exiled. A lot of them were suffering persecution. They weren't being paid their wages for working because they were Christians. They were in poverty. They were being slandered. And they're dealing with things like sickness and loneliness and bereavement and disappointment, just the things that we struggle with today. That was going on then too.
So everything that he wrote is applicable for today because they faced the struggles, the losses that we did. So as we think about this, friends, let's take a look. How do we count it joy? What are the joys in suffering? What are the joys in the deep places? Well, one of them is that when you lose things, when you lose your health, your job, your home, man, it's devastating and it just rips us apart. But what it does is it focuses us on what we truly value and on what's secondary. That's part of the gift, part of the joy that James is talking about. These trials, these sufferings make us drill down into our values and learn what really matters to us. I remember when there was a chance that I was going to be laid off from my job at the last publishing house that I looked for, I kept saying, if I lose my job, Don and I are just totally, forgive me for this word, but Don and I are totally screwed because my job was the income, my job was what carried the insurance, and how will we ever survive if I get laid off? And boom, it happened. I got laid off. And that terror of we're going to lose our home, you know, what happens if my diabetes or my asthma hits and we go into this enormous financial debt? But you know what really happened? What really happened was God has provided month to month, day by day. I used to think that I needed the security of this paycheck that came in and covered us for months down the road, this knowledge that we would be okay. But the knowledge now that we will be okay is because we're in God's hands. Mm. My security isn't based on my bank balance. Trust me on this. It's not based on my bank balance. It's based on the fact that my Father is taking care of us and He provides our needs in ways that just blow me away.
You know, I love what you're saying about losing things. I live in Oklahoma and there are frequent tornadoes here. This is like Tornado Alley. And I have seen time after time families huddle together on the news and they're standing in front of a demolished home or worse, they're standing in front of a slab that used to be their home and now it's just blank or a business that's crumpled. And you know what they say? They say, we're so thankful that we have each other. We know what matters. We are so thankful no one here was hurt. Yes, they're horrified. Yes, they're shell-shocked, but they're thankful because they've seen and they know what really matters to them here and now. And I think about the persecuted church today, too. I have a friend who just returned from a mission trip, and she told me how she was trying to remember the faces of the people that she ministered to and the people she talked to. She wanted to remember their faces because they were all of these people that said, you know, we know because we're Christians, we're going to face persecution. And we know that there's a real possibility that we could be martyred, but we're ready. We're ready. We have an inner joy and a peace. And they're not encumbered because they know what matters most. And that's God. And they have this joy inside of them. That is a gift.
That's amazing. Another joy that we can look at, and this is something that just occurred to me, and actually this is the reason that we're doing this podcast. I was reading James, I was studying James, and I came across this count it all joy, and I was struggling and wrestling, and I was like, God, I just don't get this. What does this mean? And he kind of tapped me on the shoulder, and he said, one thing that it means is that trials equip you to minister to others. Mm-hmm. It makes us tender and gentle. I mean, consider 2 Corinthians 4, 10 through 12. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive and are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake so that his life may also be revealed in our mortal body. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you.
Wow.
death and life hand in hand. This is what finally turned around my understanding of the consider it all joy versus the trials, the deep places we endure. Guys, they're not necessarily about us. Now I know it seems like they should be. This should be about me. Everything should be about me. But God was telling me that He's using these times to refine me, to refine and tenderize each of us, and to help us use our own experiences to help others who face sometimes the same things and sometimes very dissimilar things, and yet the struggles are the same.
Yes.
And that for me is the joy, because I can rest in the truth that nothing is wasted with God. Not only that, but with every trial and struggle, I can know that God is going to use it to make me better able to minister to others, to equip me. I never really understood grief until I lost my mom. It took me years to recover from that loss. But the amazing thing was that through the process of that soul-rending grief, God brought people into my life that were also hurting within days of mom's death. And together we helped each other. My pain spoke to their pain spoke to mine, and together we could lift each other. This is the true community of suffering, that as we suffer, we are open and vulnerable and willing to let God use even this very deep place to love others.
Wow, true. And as writers, we're writers here. And isn't this what we need to be writing about too?
That's right.
Isn't that what bleeding on the page is all about? I mean, what do we really have to say to others if we haven't been there ourselves?
And what do we have to say to them if we're not willing to bleed on the page, if we're not willing to let the reality, the truth of our struggle show up on the page?
Yes.
You can't hold yourself back. As an example of this, Francine Rivers wrote an amazing book called The Atonement Child about abortion and the effects of abortion in her character's life. Well, she wrote that out of first-person knowledge. She had an abortion, and she bore the painful consequences and the struggles of that decision and that act. So when she wrote that book, she wrote from the realities and the authenticity of her own struggles. She didn't hold back. She didn't hold back on why she made the decision to have the abortion, and she didn't hold back on what that cost her and what she had to do to heal from that. And the letters that she has received from women who have been healed and drawn into God's healing because of that story, it's because she was willing to be honest about her own struggle.
Wow, that's amazing. That's amazing. And I want to go back for a minute to a word you used earlier, endurance.
Mm-hmm.
The crucible of suffering, I think it produces endurance. The testing in these trials that we're going through, it actually, it's not to see if we have faith, but is to purify the faith that we already have. That's right. The connotation that James is using. That's his words. It's the process of refining silver or gold. So it's the refining of our impurities that produces endurance.
Right.
It's like how, I don't know if any of you guys work out, but I work out, and it's like how a muscle, you can't get strong without that muscle facing resistance.
Yep.
And Christians, they learn to be faithful over the long haul when we face difficulty. Like you were saying earlier, Karen, our true colors come out.
It produces a kind of spiritual integrity in each of us as followers of the one true Christ, not just for us personally, but for the community of believers.
Yeah, exactly. It's like you said, we're a community of suffering, and our integrity makes us stronger, but
right.
We're also a community that is the bride of Christ. Think about that. We suffer now, but we need to remember where we're going with all this. The
right.
End game is that the bride is perfected and we live eternally to glorify God. That's our end game.
Gosh, guys, I don't know about you, but I got chills all up and down my arms when she's saying that.
I know, right?
It's the truth. The truth is, this is being used so that we may reflect God more clearly to a weary and hurting world.
Okay, so that's true, and we can look eternally, but yet here we are, still sometimes in the midst of our deep and pain, our grief, our hurt. So what can we do today to help us to start to consider it pure, unalloyed joy?
Right. Well, we've got to change our thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we've got to refocus. So when it happens, when those times hit, when my dad ends up sick again, and I know that there could be another hospitalization coming, when Don and I have another conflict over finances, when I get caught up in myself, I just recently, in fact, yesterday, went into the deep when I was in the parking lot of our grocery store, because as I was backing out of my parking place, nice and slow, being oh so careful, I cut the steering wheel to turn and I heard crunch.
Oh no.
I had backed into the front panel of a car that had gone head into the parking place where they should have backed in. They were parked out in the driving aisle, but none of that matters because I hit them and I crunched the passenger side front panel. And inside, I was so angry with myself and angry with that person for parking the way they did and angry that God didn't make me pay closer attention. But you know what? As I stopped and I stepped back and I look at it, all the reality and the truth started flooding. Nobody was hurt. That person wasn't in their car. I didn't know if this would be some guy who'd come out and just start swearing at me. I called and reported it to the police. I called my insurance. The people from the store came out. They witnessed everything. They paged the person. And it was this sweet gal who came out. And she just walked out and she smiled at me. And she goes, you know, it's a pleasure to meet you. Not great circumstances, but I'm really pleased. And I'm thinking, good night. This could have been a total nightmare. And yet here God is. And he's saying, yes, I know it's hard and you're frustrated, but look at the blessings in the midst of it. So friends, when you're going back into the deep, step back, understand the point of it all. Take a breath. Don't try to pretty it up. Be honest with God and with others about what you're feeling and what you're struggling with. But remember, he's with you.
Yeah, and it's okay to struggle. Don't forget that. It's okay to sob and wail. I've been doing some sobbing lately. You know, we're not commanded, again, to feel only joy. But we still need to keep the truth of God's purpose tucked into our heart so that the grief doesn't turn into despair.
Something else you need to focus on is the truth of God's character. Know him. Know him with your heart and your soul and your mind, and with every doubt or spark of anger at him, test it by sharing it with him and with those you know will speak truth to you. Friends, you need truth speakers in your life. Go ahead and feel your feelings, but please don't make the mistake of using those feelings as a basis for making decisions or deciding what is and isn't true. I've heard so often believers who have been in a long season of the deep and a long season of suffering say things like, I'm starting to doubt the goodness of God. And I'm just like, what? That God is good. God is goodness. God is love. If you doubt that, you're denying who he is, and you're letting circumstances tell you that God is not who he says he is. And guys, that's a lie straight from hell. So trust the foundation of biblical truth and God's character. Tell him you're unhappy. Tell him you're ticked off. I told him yesterday, seriously, you thought this was a good idea that I needed to back into this car. And yet in the midst of being frustrated, I could trust that God was there and he was at work even in this.
And ask God's help too in revealing his perspective of us as he refines us. I think that's so useful. God's purposes will be achieved, but they're going to be achieved his way and not my way, which is good. You know? And to me, that's a cause for joy. He's going to work his purpose in me. He's not going to work my purpose that I want. And the thing that I can't escape is that we are not meant to be comfortable in this life. This life here is just a shadow of the things to come, and shadows are not made to be grasped. We can't hold on so hard to what we think life should be that we miss the reality of what awaits.
That's right. That's right. Sometimes I have an image in my mind that we're all in a lifeboat together and we're on this raging sea. And you know that people can go crazy in lifeboats if it's been long enough from the sun and from the salt water and from dehydration. And I have this image of a person who's just hit the wall and they jump out into the water thinking, at least I'm in the water. But those of us who are still in the boat, still holding on to God in the midst of the deep, we look out and we see that there are sharks in the water. There's danger there. And we reach out and we drag them back into the boat, kicking and screaming, because we know the reality is that God is with us and that all of this is something God will use for us. And if we let emotions act as the deciding point for what's true and what's not, we end up jumping into the water with the sharks. Mm-hmm. So be willing to share the truth of the deep places with others and recognize people may seem on the surface to have it all together. You're struggling in your marriage and you look at the other people at church and think, man, I wish my marriage was like that. Or you're having problems with your kids and you see another family at church whose kids just seem to be perfect. Guys, you got to know.
They're not.
They may seem on the surface to have it all together, but as often as not, we're all struggling. Those not at care in the world people are often as raw and ragged as you are. And they need to know they're not alone because they're looking around and they're looking at you and they're thinking your marriage is perfect or your kids are perfect. Yeah. And if only their life was like yours. So it's only when we start being honest about the realities of this life, the realities of following a risen, suffering Lord in this world, that we can really help each other. And really acknowledge that the joy is we don't face these things alone and that we have the Lord of the world beside us.
Amen.
So in conclusion, guys, the deep, I know sometimes it seems endless, but I'm here to tell you it's not. Because no matter how long it goes on, one day it will end. One day that trumpet's going to sound. And what awaits you, gosh, guys, what awaits you is glorious beyond any joy you can possibly know now. That's the joy that will fill us, overflow us, and we will look back on our lives here as a heartbeat and know as we walk into eternity that we'll hear that, well done, good and faithful servant. And that's the joy that we want to live for.
Thanks for listening today. We hope you found it helpful.
You might also like the backlist episodes, which you can find along with a free audio download, 5 Crucial Ways to Safeguard Your Writer's Heart, at our website, writefromthedeep.com.
If you'd like to support the show, and we would love it if you do that, you can contribute through the website.
To connect with us, go to the website or tweet us at KarenBall1, that's the number one, or Aaron T. Young.
So until next time,
embrace the deep.
Your writing and your life will never be the same.
Amen.
Amen.